Welcome to our podcast. We're going behind the iconic blue signs of North Mississippi Health Services to connect you with important resources, hot topics, and information offered by our very own experts. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to check out Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Castos for more episodes.
The healthcare industry is shifting, and it's time to do something different. North Mississippi Health Services is redesigning healthcare, and we want you to be part of it too. Good morning. I'm Shane Spees, President and CEO of North Mississippi Health Services, and I'm pleased to have David Wilson, our Chief Operating Officer for the system, join me this morning. I want to first off thank the 4,500 plus employees that completed the employee engagement survey just a couple of months ago. Part of this communication is in direct response to the feedback we received as part of the survey. And so two areas, David, that we focused on as a senior leadership group in direct response to our employee survey results were communication flow and strategy. Yeah. I mean, one thing that the employees told us is they want to hear more about our strategy, our health system strategy. And so we've got an opportunity today to do that. And then also, they would like to see improvements in the flow of communication through the organization, particularly hearing directly from senior leaders. And so recognizing that we can't spend all of our time on the floors walking around the healthcare system, we thought a podcast in video format would be the best way for us to begin that communication and dialogue around our strategy.
Yeah, we rely so heavily on email, to your point, very difficult to have face-to-face conversations with 7,000 people. So, like we always say, Einstein's definition of insanity, right? Do the same thing over and over again and expect the same results. So we're trying something different. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't.
That's good, good. And so this is the first of a series of communications that we'll do focused around our great redesign strategy. And so today we thought we would start with the G in great, which is growing key services throughout our market.
And to your point, that also came up in the employee survey. What people understand our current financial condition and the state of healthcare in general, and they want to know, what is the plan? What is our strategy?
That's great. And so this is a key step in communicating our strategy as a healthcare system. But I want to first talk about the great redesign strategy and emphasize that this strategy was not just developed overnight recently. This has been a culmination or a combination of a number of different initiatives that are coming together. And we thought the development of a formal great redesign strategy and a communication process would be helpful for all of our teammates across the healthcare system.
The acronym is new. The work behind it is not new.
That's right.
Right? We started this really during the pandemic, and certainly I think have built up steam post-pandemic. And I think we're ahead of many other healthcare systems right now, recognizing exactly what I said a few minutes ago. We can't simply continue to do things the same way.
That's right. That's right. I mean, there are several developments that we started 5 and 6 years ago, like our clinically integrated network group of providers, both physicians and advanced practice professionals across our region that we coordinated 6 years ago. Well, that's now tying into our great redesign strategy as we talk about growth, as we talk about changing how we're reimbursed with the payers. That physician alignment strategy started 5, 6 years ago. So that's part of, that's just one example of several that are part of the great redesign strategy. So as we think about some other steps that we took, I mean, we did a systemness 2.0 restructuring in 2020, which was a part of our learning from COVID, where we looked at our processes and how we coordinate across an entire system of something as basic as managing bed capacity across the system during COVID.
And we're going to cover all five letters, if you will, G-R-E-A-T. Today, we're really just focused on great and that growing services, because if you're not growing in healthcare, you're really dying. You're going backwards.
That's right.
Because our reimbursements are completely fixed for the most part. Medicare reimbursement, Medicaid reimbursement. We have a little bit of negotiation power with our commercial insurances like the Blue Cross, the Aetna, the Cigna. But what we certainly have a difficult time controlling is our continuing escalating rising cost. We all feel it, right? We feel it at home. We feel it in our own pocketbooks. At the hospital, though, in the medical industry, that inflation has hit us extremely hard.
That's right. And so we think about the G in that great redesign strategy, so growth in key services. Let's talk about the process that we as a leadership team go through to define the areas or focus areas of growth. So we go through an annual planning process where we update not only where we are, but where we anticipate going or see ourselves going in the next few years. So how does that play out, David?
You know, you got to connect that back to, first, our mission statement, right? It's why we're here, to continuously improve the health of the people in our region. So first and foremost, it's all about patients, because if we're here meeting our mission statement, then we're continually looking for opportunities. And the mission statement, I always say, is easy. It's easy to remember. It's not easy to execute because of that one word, continuously. So what we did yesterday is not good enough for us today. Our bar and our vision statement, by the way, as most know, our vision statement is we're not trying to be the best in Mississippi. We're trying to be the best in America. So all of our benchmarks, our scorecards, everything we measure ourselves against, it's not against Mississippi hospitals, right? It's against that top, those top performers in the United States, top decile, top 10%. So again, focus with an eye on the patient. We're always trying to bring this back to how do we improve, how do we continuously improve and bring patients, better care to our patients. So that's the starting point. That's the foundation.
Yeah. And a couple of key questions in our planning process is, okay, what services do you plan to grow? Where do you plan to grow those services? And how or who do you grow that with?
That's right.
Yeah, which so... we address each one of those as part of
Yeah, that's right. Our current geographic service area is 24 counties. We have historically been, you know, more of a hospital-centric business, meaning that we have 7 hospitals, but care in healthcare is moving to the ambulatory, that outpatient setting. So we have to continually look for opportunities to bring care closer to the populations in our market. How do we grow and expand services, and where are we going to do that, right? So I know we've identified at least 3 specific areas that we're targeting to improve that outpatient growth.
Yeah. Well, you and I live in Tupelo, and a lot of our teammates live in Tupelo or very close to Tupelo, and so I think it's easy for us to take for granted the access to all the specialty services we have located in Tupelo. But as we've gone through the planning process, we've recognized there are gaps in access to services, as you said, in different parts of that 24-county region. Yeah. And that's part of our effort, is to plug those gaps with certain services and also in alignment with physicians as we go through that development process.
Yeah, it's you're right. We've got to get outside of Tupelo, outside of Lee County, and those 3 areas. So what do you think our 3 priority areas are right now?
Yeah, well, as you think about where the population centers are outside of Tupelo, that's within that 24-county region, you look at a Starkville, an Oxford, a Corinth in North Mississippi, which is within our region. They're population centers. And if we're serious about continuously improving the health of the people of our region, we have to reach more of those individuals closer to where they live.
Make it easier access.
That's right.
Easier access, because while we have a significant market share, that still means that many of them are having to drive to Tupelo. It's not easy, right? So that continuously improve, in my mind, really resonates when you're talking about access. Create easier access, geographically easier, and then from a time perspective also.
Yeah. And in recognizing that we need the support and the collaboration with physician groups to make that growth happen. So as part of this growth effort, we've developed a number of alignments with several local and area physician groups to help with that expansion project. And so because we know as a health system, we've got to have not only facilities and services, but also you have to have providers like physicians to deliver those services. So fortunately, we've created several physician group alignments who are wanting to expand and grow with us in those different areas.
And many probably don't know that there is some science behind how many physicians we need. Right? We engage a company to do a three-year look every year. They look at the population growth, they do projections, and they say, this is the number of cardiologists you have today, and this is the number we think you're going to need years to come. So we work with both our employed and our private groups to think about what that future looks like and how can we support them, how can we support our team, our partnership, again, back to how do we provide better access to those patients. So really, more providers. Mississippi, as you've said numerous times, we're woefully underserved, right? We export too many nurses, too many of our own trained physicians leave our state. So it's part of our redesign effort, if you will, also gets back to growing our own. Right, maybe we're jumping ahead in the grade a little bit here and in terms of evolving care, but I know a big part of that that is connected to the providers has been our startup on the internal medicine and the family medicine residency program.
Yeah, so it's trying to bring more care closer to where the folks live and work throughout our region is a big part of it, and working with our physician groups.
Yeah, and if you think... this is a question that I often get when we talk about growth. Why is growth so important? Why is growth so important? When you don't have the ability to raise your prices and you have the inflation that we've continued to see, the only way that you can accommodate that is to add more volume and to more growth. And then also on the other side of the equation, we always, even pre-pandemic, but certainly even post-pandemic, we have to continually focus on how do we be more productive, how do we be more cost efficient. Yeah. So part of the redesign efforts is really getting into, hate to bring up an acronym, but SAS. I think our team has heard this, simplify. How do we simplify the work for our employees? How do we automate? How do we then scale, support, and sustain that across a very large system? And so we're always looking for opportunities to be more productive and to be more efficient. And I think that really is key to us as we, you know, go forward and try to do things differently.
Yeah. So going back to the G in great, growing services, we talked about locations, but we also have done planning around what services are required or demanded in those locations that we don't currently offer today. And so as we think about some of those services, clearly there's primary care is a need in most of those areas. Then there's some specialty services that are needed. You mentioned, you know, cardiology earlier. There's a need for cardiology. There's a need for orthopedics. There's a need for oncology services. Or what else comes to mind?
You know, you can't, to your point, you can't build any care without first starting with the base. And the base is primary care. So again, to our success that we've had over many years with our family medicine program, and now we're in year three. As a matter of fact, today at 11 o'clock, we've got our third year internal medicine residents looking to see where they're going to match if they're going into a fellowship. So, you know, you think back when we started this program, that is all to help us continue to try to grow our primary care base. I think about, I use an example quite often, for example, is, has anybody heard of Burnsville? Yes. There wasn't a primary care clinic there, right? Continuously improved. We recognized the need, so we acquired land, we built a building, we recruited a physician, and we opened up a new clinic there. But you've got to have that primary care base there first before you can really support those specialists. And to your question about what specialty, I mean, orthopedics, neurosurgery, we've had historic recruitment issues and challenges in some specialty areas, but we're gaining a lot of momentum now, particularly in that orthopedic and neurosurgery. Great to see that happening. Our ability to grow really comes back to our financial health. And so a lot of employees think that we talk too much about finances, but in any business, your financial health is so important to you. And that's another question, and I don't want to digress. People say, well, wait a minute, I thought you were a nonprofit organization. I said, we are. But there's really no difference between a nonprofit and a for-profit. Maybe we don't pay taxes, but both have to have a healthy bottom line. You're involved with several nonprofits. I am too, like the United Way. If they didn't have a bottom line, there wouldn't be a United Way. Boy Scouts. If they didn't have a bottom line, there wouldn't be a Boy Scouts. And if we're going to meet our mission to continuously improve, we've got to have the money to do that. Back to the Burnsville example. We had to buy the land, we had to build the building, we had to recruit, we have to pay employees. And all of our employees, you know, they want to know, are we secure? The analogy I use is that we would like to spend money out of our checking account. We have a tremendously great savings account, but nobody wants to continually pull for their savings account. So you might just want to comment on our overall financial health and the importance and related to, to growing.
That's a good point. I think we mentioned in the communication earlier this year that thankfully we do have a great balance sheet, which we would kind of, that's similar to having a savings account for an individual. And so we're fortunate to have a healthy savings account because of some really good decisions that have been made over the years. But as you said, we need to live off of what we produce through our operations. So, and that's the bottom line in striving to make sure that we can produce a positive bottom line from operations in order to have the funding to reinvest back into people, services, and technologies we've talked about before. So that's a key motivator, and that's important to, for us to sustain our mission. As we think about going back to those services that are the focus of some growth areas for us, I mean, I'm amazed at what we continue to do over the past year or so, despite the challenges that we've all communicated around and we know exist in the industry. Mention a couple of the things that's going on in those specialty areas that we could highlight for the team, just as examples of.
Yeah, we've had great success in recruitment first. Hats off to our internal recruiters because they do an outstanding job. And traditionally, we recruit to somewhere 30 to 30 plus new physicians into our market for our health system every year. Now, some of those are not necessarily new. They're replacements for retirees or somebody who moved. But in cardiology, we've got a lot of exciting things going on in cardiology and orthopedics. I just heard today in neurosurgery, where we've had a historical deficit of providers, well, we've added a few, and our wait time to access our neurosurgeon down to today or tomorrow. Call and make an appointment today, get in today or tomorrow. That's tremendous. We've never been there before. Yeah. So new relationships that you mentioned earlier with orthopedic providers, new relationships with cardiology providers. We've got so much going on right now in our outpatient world and our joint ventures where we co-own the operations with our physicians. The future is bright for us despite the challenges. We have a lot of headwinds, but we are doing some of the right decisions. And I know that's sometimes difficult for everybody to see, whether internally or externally, but if you have the knowledge that we have and the ability to compare ourselves to our position compared to some of our competitors, yeah. I think we're much better positioned.
And I don't feel like, David, just in the past 3 months or so, we've turned a corner, if you will, on some of those challenges that we experienced before. Turning the corner meaning that we, on a month-to-month basis, can show growth in volumes because we've increased bed capacity in the system.
It is.
And that goes down to, that goes to, you know, staff recruitment, staff retention, and thankfully we've been successful in those areas over the past several months, and we'll continue to that. So, yeah, I'm excited about the G and the great redesign because we have a lot of opportunities for growth in this healthcare system.
I'm glad you connected that. So as we wind up here, I think it's important for us to just go back and connect the dots. And we talk a lot about, especially with new employees and our existing employees, our CARES values. Mm-hmm. But we also talk about our critical success factors. And our critical success factors start with, we build a pyramid out of that. And it's no surprise that people are at the base. We are a people business. We're a people industry. Everything that we do is based on people. And we had a staffing challenges pre-pandemic. They've only gotten worse post-pandemic. But right now, I think we are starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel. It's not really bright, but we're moving in the right direction. And I think over the next couple of years, with all the work our leaders are doing and making connections out there with our educational facilities, we'll continue to move in the right direction.
I agree with those points, David. And thank you for joining us today. And I'll just close out with a reminder that we'll follow up with additional podcast around the other components of the Great Redesign Plan later on. But I appreciate everyone, appreciate the feedback from our employees across the system that provided the input and drove a lot of these action plans that we talked about today, and we'll continue doing that. You'll have an opportunity. We'll provide a QR code that you can easily click onto and provide feedback about the content that you heard today and the format that we're using on this. So we'd love to hear from you. With that said, David, thank you for joining me today, and we'll look forward to future communications.
Right. Nothing venture, nothing gain.
That's right.
Thank you for listening. We are here to support you and are so glad you chose to spend time with us today. We hope this podcast helps you understand what connected feels like. Please don't forget to check back at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Castos for more episodes.